Well, as we change the schedule and have the beginning of a new semester tomorrow, wow, I had in my mind, you know, kind of like wondering who the audience would be tonight, and still wondering if perhaps sometime around 9 o'clock some folks may come trickling in for worship. not quite sure who I would be looking to and speaking to, proclaiming to this day. And as such the case, I coming off of the bike giveaway yesterday, meeting a whole group of international students, I have to say that was a wonderful time. Meeting them, but seeing the joy in their faces, their lives, I thought, you know, a bike giveaway, this just really doesn't kind of work to describe this moment, because I thought Christmas in August or something would be it, you know, that these kids are coming in, students coming in and are receiving a bicycle. Just gratis, completely free. They come in, get a bit of an explanation about getting a parking sticker on campus and all of this, and off they go. And it was just exuberant, you know. I thought the fun, you know, for me, being kind of hands and all of the mechanics kind of thing, the fun of getting this pile of trash. I mean, these bikes that were beat and laid out in the sun for years, getting that pile of opportunity and putting things together and then having them ride them out, the fun had been, down there in the dark room. But now, seeing this excitement and joy, I thought, boy, I'd look forward to that any day. It was just a great thing. So I'm thinking about students and the return and the whole message from Joshua in light of the beginning of a new semester, and choose this day whom you will serve, and the whole theme of why should we serve God and then how should we serve Him kind of comes to bear in mind as we look through the rest of the readings. But as I look upon you this morning, I'm thinking these folks are probably more curious about the gospel reading and Jesus' words there, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And the whole question, I mean, this is hotly debated, you know, in the church, the theologians and whatnot. The question of, is Jesus referring to communion, the Lord's Supper, or not? And I'm kind of on the not side, because in large part the context. And so we remember that this whole last three Sundays, the gospel from John context takes us back to the feeding of the 5,000. And there Jesus did this miracle in which he provided for the people, you know, those two fish and five loaves, and he fed them all. The following day, they come back looking for more. You know, where's Jesus, the bread king? You know, where's the one who can feed us simply by blessing these things and passing them out? We'd like more of that. So in a sense, we have a very strong kind of social gospel kind of message there with that. Take care of those in need. Apply, use the resources that God has given to you. Let God multiply those and address, you know, the needs of the crowd. Let this be a sign of the kingdom of God. Let it be beautiful. That is, do the bike thing, you know, and other stuff like it. So we get that down then to the end of that. This was the second week in John 6. And we come to the passage where we heard the disciples' hearts were hardened, for they had not realized the meaning of the fish and the loaves. And now to this Sunday, in which Jesus says, unless you eat of me, my flesh, and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. So they have been looking to this kind of coming of the kingdom in their midst and expecting more of this. And Jesus, I believe, in these words is saying their conclusion should not escape us. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word, the words of eternal life. Social gospel, verbal, you know, the substance of the gospel itself, Christ for you, his suffering, his life, the exchange for you, and the recollection and the broader context of Scripture. Unless you follow me, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you're unworthy of the kingdom, and so on. I think Jesus is saying, unless you connect yourself to the cross, not about its glory, but to the cross, about God's power and presence in the midst of suffering and struggle, you miss it entirely. And he invites us to this life of cross-bearing, a life of serving, a life in which our lives are poured out that others might have life and light. Choose this day whom you will serve, perhaps, has a trajectory, you know, a beam of light that goes out encompassing it all. Many choices will be made this semester. Choices particularly surrounding the use of time. Make good use of the time. Choose wisely how you use the time, for the days are evil, the text says. Evil in the sense that as we use time, it is either to that kind of realizing the kingdom in our lives, or else perpetuating our own sense of kingdom. You know, taking advantage of the hours in the day, the work day, and so on, to set aside what is good for me, as opposed to recognizing that not only have I been given life as an individual, God has established and placed my life right in the midst of community. So I've been reading this book we're reading with the elders and some of the leadership in the church, Practicing the King's Economy. And they have this diagram in there listing the cultures of the world and their relationship with the notion of individuality and a community or communal life. So we have some of the Asian cultures over here on the far right, in which I recall, you know, telling the story of my, you know, being Lutheran in the context of some Chinese students, and I spoke of how displeasing it was to my father particularly that I left the Baptist church and became a Lutheran. And this crossed the eyes of my Chinese listener all up. How could you possibly offend your father like that in the name of God? You know? I mean, it was like, may it never be kind of moment. But it illustrates the difference between their orientation to community and to family and to ours on the West, in which we probably look at the individual and say, go, dude, right? Choose your own path, find your own way kind of thing, establish your identity as an individual, and we'd say, well, at least you stayed in the church. So here we are, way over on the left side of the spectrum, the scale. Life for us is all about the individual, and the communal has been set aside. And God, through the witness of Scripture, is saying, remember, as you and I have this individual connection, the model here is you really need the community, for your sense of identity, and also for the expression, the outpouring of your life. So we're endured to work. And then this, that you may have something to share with those in need, you know, that follows. And we get stuck with the first and say, yes, I need to work to establish myself. And we forget that you may have something else to share with those in need. My father-in-law taught me this. I so appreciate him for it. In talking and thinking about vocation and all of this, and I had lived so long on so little, my perspective was just make enough, Al. And he says, don't you want to have something to share with others? And a whole new window opened up. I said, oh, yes, I should broaden my scope and my perspective. I'm not just working to serve, to care for me and mine. I'm serving God, and God has compassion. His eyes are on all those in need. And perhaps through my life too, I could have something to share with those in need. The individual and the communal and the recognition that the things that we do as individuals, the choices that we make, are not simply just our choices, but they're choices in the purview of God and God's eyes and God's perspective, his face resting upon the needs of the whole world. Oh, how much bigger life becomes when we see it through the eyes of our Father in heaven. How much larger the joy that he intends as we seek to serve him and serve others together. And it boils down to choices that we're making. Choices about time, how and where we spend them. Choices about our hearts and our lives. Are we open to people and their story? Will we be curious about them? Or do we have the perspective that I'm here, we're here, and we got the goods after all? Why should I be curious about you? I saw that moment yesterday as well. In comes this guy from Nigeria. I see in his body language this kind of mortal fear of the awkwardness of the space culturally. Here's his courage. He asked me, he says, so what is it that you do around here in Auburn? He's curious about my life. And I'm here thinking, this is about bikes and people in need. So stupid to miss the opportunity to say, here is an individual, humanity, of which we share fully and completely without distinction. And what's your interest in Auburn? What are you studying? What's your dream? Do you struggle? Are you lonely? Can I be your friend? You want to do lunch? How about a bike ride together? On and on it could go. So I'm hopeful, stepping into this new year, hopeful to walk with Christ, who speaks clearly the truth and does not bring to bear that truth upon people with judgment. For we know the reputation that he has, the kind that he hangs out with. And yet, is truthful with the utmost integrity in the midst of that association with people that are different. And the association sadly, I don't see any of those people here with us this morning. You see what I'm saying? I could have done so much better yesterday, but yesterday is just a glimpse, you know, just a drop of water in a whole big bucket of opportunities to acknowledge humanity, to be open, to be curious, to be generous, to give my whole being. Choose this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, I'd like to serve the Lord. I hope to serve the Lord. Well, I hope this gives you some things to think about. God bless us on the journey as we step into a new year in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.